we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, making it cool to be a conservative. Got a ton of text messages in there. I got to get a few of them just to try and keep up with you guys. Appreciate all of y'all joining the show. You want to text it in or call it in, same number for both, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Text it or call it. By the way, speaking of call it, let me just remind you guys, If the state Senate is considering taking up the gambling bill on the floor of the Senate tomorrow, you may want to call down there and make yourself known to your senator. If you're not sure who your senator is, you can go to your Alabama Secretary of State's website. Just Google Alabama Secretary of State. Go to the website. There's a place on there in the political section where you can actually find your senator, and it'll tell you who it is in case you don't know. But then here's the number. I'm going to give it out more than once. 334-261-0800. That's the number you can call down there and ask to be directed to the office of your senator. 334-261-0800. Call and tell them how you feel about it. Do or don't want to vote for it. Skip from Tony says, hey, Phil, truth be told, Nikki Haley really didn't beat Trump in Vermont. It's an open primary state that allows Democrats to cross over. Yeah, there you go. Take note how the mainstream media deliberately left that fact out. Well, that's a great point, Skip. Yeah, for those who don't know, open primaries means that, and that's how, by the way, that's Alabama had this issue a few years back. Governor Robert Bentley was not considered to be the lead candidate, but Democrats and teachers union folks saw him as being the one that they could work with better. And so they did crossover primary voting. He won the primary and then won the general. Don from Jackson County says, I'm trying to think what we're talking about here. I don't even know what we're talking about, Don. He says, maybe they should just change it to Montgomery stays out of local politics. Oh, he's talking about the local bills. You can't do that. Our Constitution requires it. It's a pain, Don, but the way our Constitution is written, there are certain things that are not allowed for what they call home rule. It's a royal pain. And I really think that someday there's going to be a change to our state constitution. But right now, there are certain things that are reserved to the legislature, which when I see someone who governs Jefferson County, I'm kind of glad. But anyway, most part, I think the home rule would be more beneficial, but it's not. So as a matter of constitutional requirement, they've got to go to Montgomery for this stuff. Mike from Owens Crossroads says, regarding Nikki Haley's open primary again. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that very much. Y'all are squaring me away. Scott from Athens. Oh, yeah. He says, Texas did a good job cleaning out their state house rhinos. Mike Davis up in North Carolina vying for the governor is exciting. Only good news in Alabama is Uncle is kicking and we kept Barry Moore and dumped a loser. Okay. I don't know. Uncle is kicking. Okay. Anyway, what do we got here? Ed P. from Huntsville and I went back and forth about whether, I'm not going to go through all the texts we had, but he thought Amendment 1 was a bad deal, and we should not have ever allowed it to be on the ballot at all. But he also, we kind of came back around, and I said, I totally get your concerns. He doesn't trust politicians. I understand that. Lewis from Trinity, he says, here's a fact most people don't know about Indian casinos are not regulated, and the amount of money they put back in for payouts relating to machines are tight and hard to get payouts. Las Vegas puts more money back in for payouts. Indian casinos are not regulated to do that. Lewis, you're way more in the weeds than I would ever know, but we don't have to worry about that if we don't have them. There's that. Mike from Athens does not appreciate Justice Murdoch talking about gambling and lottery being lumped into the same category. He says, I don't agree at all. Well, you're welcome to not agree, Mike, but they're still both considered a game of chance. And what we're talking about here is how they qualify under our state constitution. It's not a matter whether you and I agree on the street that they are lumped together or should be lumped together or not. What's required is that we follow Alabama law. And Alabama law lumps them together, period. That's why it's a matter of constitutional amendment for both. And then we got some new texters. And somebody said, Phil, let's not forget the people have already had a ballot measure twice, and we said no already. Yeah, tell us who you are and where you're from, but you're right. Alabama's voted down expanded gaming twice already. All right, coming up next, we should have Jeff Poore calling in for the final half hour to talk through yesterday's elections. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. I'm talking about Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, and before I bring my caller in, I got to tell you guys, too, somebody else who covers a lot of major ground, that's our friends at Southern Immediate Care. Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics that covers a huge swath of ground across our listening area, places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, six more locations around the Birmingham area, and more coming, I hear. But Southern Immediate Care opens 7 days a week at every location. They will see all ages. I'm talking like pediatric to geriatric. And y'all, I'll be honest with you, this is who I use personally. And I don't say that because they advertise. I literally was using them before and thought, I could brag on these folks. It's always clean, professional, friendly. So I asked them, and they said, absolutely. And it turns out they're owned by a Right Side ruffian, so that didn't hurt. But yeah, Southern Immediate Care, all their locations. You need medical attention, you look them up, find the location nearest to you. And when you're down there filling out your form, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I would appreciate that. Well, listen, somebody else who covers a huge swath of ground is our friend Jeff Poore. Y'all know him as the usual member of the Grand Council on Wednesday afternoons. He is also, by the way, the host of his own radio show, the Jeff Poore Show, on FM Talk 106.5 in the mornings down in the Gulf Coast region, based out of Mobile. He's also, by the way, the editor-in-chief of 1819 News, and he covered the elections handily yesterday. So, Jeff Poore, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, man. Thank you. I know you're in the car leaving Montgomery as we speak, so thanks for making time. Hey, I got to ask you, dude, before we even talk about yesterday's elections, one of the other things that really happened, in fact, I thought it was pretty funny, you tweeted out, because there was a guy who's running for Congress wondering what his votes are right now, Greg Allbritton, and yet he was down there having to sponsor a gaming bill and got it out of committee yesterday. But they are working this gaming bill like crazy. What are you hearing about this thing? I just had Justice Murdoch on. We talked about the ins and outs of it. But what are you hearing in terms of the senators? Are they going to vote for it tomorrow? What's the deal?
I mean, I think we haven't seen it in the floor. The moment they have the votes, it goes to the floor. They're not there yet. But they are moving closer to it. Who knows what they're going to throw in and what kind of enticements. I saw that a few guys in the state asked today, and they think that they'll get there. And tomorrow we'll probably see it happen. And there'll be, you know, there's a week off coming up this next week. So there'll be kind of a victory lap. But the question is, after that, what does the House do? It's a substitute bill. So it can't go to, it's not going to be able to go to like a conference committee or anything like that. The House has to take up the Senate bill. And are they going to be really keen on the idea cutting out a lot of the gaming and then giving the Porch Creeks kind of a competitive advantage?
Well, I mean, I think that's going to be the rub. And there's a whole lot of stuff in there that I know they had some opposition. They had 32 members of the House that voted against the original bill to begin with.
Right.
And if they start losing too many of those, they get into some dicey trouble.
Well, the question here, Senator, is it's not so much, I mean, like, Nathaniel Ledbetter is very good at marshalling votes. Where it remains to be seen is, well, what if the Democrats don't like the Senate bill in the House? It falls apart. They need some Democrat votes. They may not need the entire Democrat side, but they're going to need some Democrat votes if they change the constitutional amendment to get to that 3/5.
Yeah, absolutely. And let me ask you this. I didn't even get into this with Justice Murdoch, and I don't know if you know the answer to it yet, so I'm going to kind of put you on the spot by asking. I've not seen the new version of the bill myself, but the old version had arguably what could have been considered a Medicaid expansion piece built into it, and Anthony Daniels said as minority leader he would not support the bill without that being in it. So what do you know about the new bill? Does it still have that kind of language in there?
According to our friend, mutual friend Stephanie Holden Smith, it is in there. It's just, I think, even more covertly worded in the bill. But I also think, you know, you just talking about general fund, they leave it very vague. That's how they get to it, maybe without it being explicit.
Wow. All right. Well, listen, let's talk about yesterday's elections. You live down on the coast, which was the scene of probably one of the more dramatic pieces of the Alabama primary day. And that's the Congressional District 1 race between Jerry Carl and Barry Moore, both of whom were incumbents, but because of the redistricting, got drawn into the same district. So Barry Moore triumphed last night, triumphed pretty handily. I mean, there's no need for a recount. There's no need for questioning provisional ballots. None of it. It was pretty clear. Barry Moore won. Was that a surprise at all? Did you see that coming, or how's that being received in the Mobile, which was Jerry Carl's strength?
Well, I mean, to be honest, going into it, I thought Carl probably would win by a point or two. That was my final prediction, that the momentum had shifted and the Carl forces had really rallied around. And just being in the Mobile, Alabama market, every advertisement was just hammering Barry Moore. And, you know, like, I thought Barry Moore had it all the way up until the very, very end. It turned out he had it much longer than I thought. But the race seemed to be shifting toward Jerry Carl. And, you know, it is. It's like, oh, we've seen this play before. This is how the story ends. You know, the establishment gets their way. I tell you what, I was surprised. None of that mattered. None of the Club for Growth stuff, none of these super PACs, none of that mattered. This was not an ideological, not even political. It was straight up geography. Look at that map, and the county line between Covington County and Escambia County, Alabama, was one side of it was all for Carl. The other side was all for Barry Moore. What does that tell us? The people in the second congressional district that are moving to the first were happy with Barry Moore, and most of the people in the first congressional district that are remaining in the first congressional district were happy with Jerry Carl. The problem was just not as many were as happy with Jerry Carl as they were with Barry Moore. And I think Barry Moore, I mean, like, Barry Moore, I thought was a lot softer than I thought he was going to be in Baldwin County. I thought he was going to do a lot better in Baldwin County, and he did okay. Jerry Carl was non-existent in the Wiregrass. Yeah. And I know he spent a lot of money, a lot of time there, but, like, where Barry Moore's getting beat 2-1 in the on the coast, Jerry Carl's getting beat 4-1 in Wiregrass. So it's just Jerry Carl did not pick off enough Barry Moore votes, and Barry Moore picked off just enough Jerry Carl votes to win that race. 3%, 3,000 votes. I mean, that's not a big number, but you're right. It's decisive enough where this won't go into overtime.
Well, and I don't even know. Is there even a Democrat in that race?
There's a guy named Tom Holmes. He is a Democrat, so there will be a general election.
Okay. All right. Well, then here's the next one, Congressional District 2. So that one wound up, we kind of figured it would. I said earlier, all God's children were running for the open seat of Congressional District 2. So we now have a runoff in the Republican and Democrat sides, and I knew there would be. Dick Brubaker had a strong showing, although not strong enough to get past the need for a runoff. Caroline Dobson is a complete political unknown. I mean, she's come out of – I've been in state politics for a lot of years. I know you've monitored it and reported on it for a lot of years, and I'm going to tell you right now, never heard of Caroline Dobson. It was like watching Lindy Blanchard run for governor. Everybody's like, who? But here she is, and she's in a runoff right now with Dick Brubaker. Your thoughts on that?
Well, Kelly Dobson, she's really impressive. If you ever had the opportunity to talk to her, and you should. Harvard educated, says the right things, you know, on immigration, on Christianity, schools, and like hits all the right chords. And it's very well financed. She married into, I believe, the King's Ranch family in Texas, but they live in Montgomery. She's originally from Beatrice, Alabama, in Monroe County. So she is of and from the district. She's not carpetbagging in, I guess. But I would say she's like impressive. But I tell you, she spent a lot of money and she did well. She got into the runoff. I thought the Albritton name, when it was all said and done, was going to carry Greg Albritton and get him into that runoff. So Albritton is just kind of one of those names in the rural part of South Alabama. Everybody knows it all, Britton. Everybody, you know, it's just familiarity. But it wasn't enough. Dobson was able to beat that. Brubaker, on the other hand, I mean, he is a Montgomery institution. Okay? Yeah. If you know anything about that, you know, Brubaker has it. And it's just a car dealership for years and years and years and years. Been running radio ads for years, TV ads for years. It was like a 90, 95, 96% name ID in every DMA. Yeah, so like he's going to be hard to beat. Where they got to beat him, and I don't know if she could beat him in Republican Raw, but where Doxa would have to beat him, she's really got to court the All Britain votes, and she's got to work south. She's got to work Mobile really, really hard. She's not, I wouldn't say she's out of it. Paul Shasky's running that campaign. He's the same guy who took Katie Britt and Tommy Tuberville to the United States Senate. So he knows what he's doing, but it's just kind of fascinating to watch. Like, she is a newcomer. But she is, I mean, there's no reason you would have ever heard of her until this point.
Well, all right. So let me ask you, with about 3 minutes before we go to the break, we've got on the same race, we got the Democrats are now in a primary runoff. And Anthony Daniels and Shamari Figures. And Shamari Figures, of course, has got a Democrat political pedigree with his family, with his service to Barack Obama and all of that. Daniels, of course, is the minority leader. But if I'm not mistaken, both of them have been living outside the district for a long time. So we technically have two guys who've not lived there in the district who are now in the runoff. Am I right?
Kind of. Now, Shamari Figures in Washington, D.C. for a long time, but he now lives in the district.
Okay, so he moved back.
Mobile, Alabama. Yes.
Okay.
But, I mean, he's a Figures, a Vivian Figures, Michael Figures, synonymous with Mobile, Democratic politics. I mean, they are, you know, I think he's legit. Anthony Davis has to make that case. You know, Bullitt County, he's run a good campaign, a real smart campaign. I'll tell you what this means, Senator. This is really important. The Joe Reed Alabama Democratic Conference candidate, Napoleon Racy, like, got 9%.
Yeah.
So the waning influence of Joe Reed is upon us once and for all, I think.
Well, I think you're right, and that was the little piece I was going to throw in there too. Was they had that little kerfluffle right at the very end where it was obvious that Joe Reed was worried about his own namesakes, and he was trying to get them arguably taken off the ballot because they weren't Democrat enough, they weren't black enough, or something. I don't know what it was. It was ridiculous. Y'all reported on it. I think you're the only ones who reported on it, and yet it didn't work for him. And so now we have the two non-Joe Reed sanctioned candidates actually in the runoff.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that, I mean, we are near, Joe Reed had a good run, guys, but it's just showing you that his endorsed candidate, he was desperate trying to get his two opponents kicked off the ballot. It didn't work. He still runs that Democratic Party, but it's just to watch that real close. You know, Randy Kelly and Joe Reed, get them in a room together. They may try to concoct a way to kick the Anthony Daniels and Shamari Figures off the ballot, but I think not getting the votes really tells us a lot.
Wow. All right, brother. Well, listen, I know you're on the road. You be safe traveling, and we'll talk to you again sometime soon. All right.
All right. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Thank you. That was Jeff Poor, editor-in-chief of 1819 News. And, oh, by the way, he has his own radio show. He's really good at it down yonder in Mobile on FM Talk 106.5, the Jeff Poor Show. All right, we're going to take the last break of the day. We'll come right back and put a lid.